Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to Sports Time Radio. It's Friday, and you know what that means.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, none other than Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
All right. The internet gods are smiling at us. There are no technical glitches.
So far, yeah. So far, so good. We're doing okay. Let's hope that it remains that way for us, and we will be able to roll through this evening's episode without any problems. But anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something to pop up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and follow that link over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you know, you went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and like it. Don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Schomburg Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass any messages along you want to try to get the Stu for you, no problem. All right, Stu. Well, Major League Baseball has made a decision here earlier in the day, and they have placed Trevor Bauer on administrative leave. Now, in case you didn't hear, he was charged with, I want to say, sexual assault or sexual misconduct in an 87-page restraining order. Now, Bauer and his lawyer have came out and defended this by saying that it was just a couple of rough sexual encounters. Major League Baseball decided to put him on leave. Of course, that means he will still continue to be paid and accumulate Major League service time. Basically, here's the short memo they put out. MLB's investigation into the allegations made against Trevor Bauer is ongoing. No determination has been made. We have made the decision to place Mr. Bauer on 7-day administrative leave effective immediately. MLB continues to collect information in our ongoing investigation concurrent with the Pasadena Police Department's active criminal investigation. We will comment further at the appropriate time. So, you know, Bauer was due to start Sunday for the Dodgers. You know, it hasn't been said, you know, obviously the Dodgers are going to have to make a roster move, but that hasn't been announced yet. He was a gigantic free agent signing. He was 8-5 in 17 starts with a 2.59 ERA, so he's going to be a little tough to replace for a team that's, you know, beginning to close in on the Giants there out west. They're just a half a game behind. What do you kind of see as the overall impact, and do you see this going past the 7 days?
I think that it will definitely go past the 7 days. And in fact, when you mentioned the announcement, I was kind of surprised because I figured that for sure MLB would come out with something. At least a week or 2 weeks suspension at the very easiest, at the very least, because there's a big difference between something being consensual and something being assault. And for what the pictures that have generated online, and this is a clear-cut case of assault, and what he did was horrific. And there's just no excuse for that. And I don't believe his excuse or his attorney's excuse saying that was just rough sex. It was a lot more than that, as the woman has alluded to. So it's this is quite serious, and I think it's certainly not going to be done within 7 days, in my opinion. What about your thoughts?
Yeah, I never know with these things. And I as much as I can, I try to deal with, the innocent until proven guilty theory. And I understand that, professional sports isn't allowed to do that. You have to act quickly, whether that person is guilty or not. This is an interesting start that it's only 7 days, because let's face it, when next Friday rolls around, this case isn't going to be resolved. What happens then? Does he continue on administrative leave, or is there another option?
Well, the only other option would be the suspension.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
And then you got to wonder how long, because these things, anything like this is going to take a while to play out. I mean, you look at the Deshaun Watson case, and none of them have gone to court yet. I know he had multiple accusers, in the 20s, but, and that's coming up on, got to be 6, 7, 8 months since the first one came out. Is Bauer done for the year?
Yeah, it's a possibility, because obviously, as you pointed out, that this hasn't even come to court yet. And if and when it does come to court, it's not going to be resolved quickly. This is going to take a long time. And I would say that if that happens, he might be done for the season.
Yeah, and I mean, that severely cuts into the Dodgers' hope of repeating as World Series champions, because, he's legitimately been their best starting pitcher.
Yeah, there's a huge difference between something being consensual and rough and what he did, because, I mean, some of the pictures that they're talking about, and I saw some of the descriptions, were horrific, absolutely horrific, John, and this does not bode well for him, and I just can't see MLB doing anything but suspending him indefinitely until this thing is resolved.
Yeah, you do wonder if, that's the route they more or less have to go. That seems to be the way, leagues go now. You just kind of go, hey, look, this is the deal here. We're going to do this. It will be interesting to see, how things play out for the Dodgers. They do have David Price. They do have Tony Gonsolin. They have a wonderfully deep minor league system, but none of these guys are going to be able to replace Trevor Bauer.
No, and I think David Price's better days are behind him. He's 36, and can he vault into a starting role immediately?
Well, he's been making some starts. He has made 4 starts for the Dodgers. Let me see if I can get the date on the last one here, because I thought they were using him a little more in that role. Oh, actually, no, I was a tad off here. Do they have it listed as when he's actually made the start, or how did they go here? Yeah, he hasn't pitched since June 26th, and even, looking at his numbers, he actually hasn't pitched more than 2 2/3 of an inning. So he's definitely not stretched out.
No, I was going to say that he has to be stretched out then if they want to switch him to a starting role. And how many innings can they give them after he becomes stretched out? 4, 5 at the most?
You're probably looking at five to start. I mean, the one advantage they do have is the All-Star break is coming up. So that would give them the opportunity to get some work in with him. But, yeah, he's still a little bit of a ways away from being able to contribute there. So we'll have to see how it plays out and you know, where they go and all that other, you know, kind of funky stuff that's going on. But, again, Bauer was...
They have a deep minor league system. They probably have some starters in the minors that could probably step in and take over. Maybe even better, doing a better job than Price will do.
You know, oddly, they only have four starters listed in their rotation. You know, they use five. You know, Tony Gonsolin will definitely step in and, you know, fill one of those roles. I don't know which one they'll plug him into, but he'll get starts for sure. You know, it just becomes the question of where do they go next? You know, obviously in a perfect world, it would have been Dustin May, but he's on the 60-day DL, and I believe he's having Tommy John.
Yeah, he's done.
That's not going to happen. You know, I'm looking to see. And their number one pitching prospect is Josiah Gray, but he happens to be injured as well. So it's not going to be him. It may be Mitch White or Edwin Udet, I'm going to go with. You know, they're in the top 40 of their prospects. So maybe one of them gets the call.
Yeah, well, of course, we're both at this point in time both considering the worst possible option for the Dodgers, and that this thing will linger past the seven-day mark. And based upon the testimony and the information that's been leaking out through the Internet, I can't see anything other than that happening.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a shock for this not to last longer. Now, I do know, you know, to be fair, in some of these cases, money does solve them rather quickly. So I don't know if there's possibly a negotiation going on between the two parties that would lead to some type of settlement or something where the charges would be dropped. We're going to have to kind of wait and see on that one. That has happened. That happened in an NFL case a few years ago, where the plaintiff was paid off and then didn't want to, drop the charges, didn't want to testify.
Let's assume for the moment that happens here. They offer this woman a multi-million-dollar settlement. She accepts that the charges are dropped. Would that be the end of it, or would MLB saying, the charges have been dropped, but we think this still deserves some kind of a suspension? Can they still do that?
Yeah, well, they can do anything they want. Of course, they would have to, I'm sure the union, because obviously Trevor Bauer's in the players' union, they would go to bat for him. Not literally, of course, because he's just he doesn't hit, he's a pitcher. There would have to be something kind of worked out there. And the police, in reality, could still continue to proceed with the charges if they believe they could make a case without this woman's testimony, which obviously would be highly doubtful.
Very difficult.
It's just going to have to be one of these things where we see how it plays out and, just unfortunately it's going to stay in the news and we're going to continue to talk about it.
Well, this is a major story, certainly. This is something that, there's been a lot of these cases over the years with a various variety of different sports, but this one is a huge jolt. And if what he did was indeed true, and I suspect that it is, but this is something that's not going to go away, as you pointed out, so quickly. And do some of these athletes, I guess they do, they just think they're above the law and they can get away with anything they want to because they're a major star in a major sport, and they can do whatever they want and no one's going to come back and do anything about it.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, unfortunately, in a lot of these cases, money can get you out of that. And, you know, that's the one thing these guys have is money and large extra sums of it laying around. So, you know, again, we'll, you know, hopefully, you know, hope, you know, I would love to think that, you know, it's untrue or, you know, it maybe Bauer's side of the story was true, but it's that's tough to believe. You know, again, we'll just have to stick with it and see how it plays out.
Has he been involved in any other incidents along these lines over the past years, or just the first time his name has cropped up in this kind of a situation?
Yeah, you know, with the exception of pissing Major League Baseball off for some of the comments he makes about them, this is the first time anything like this has ever popped up with his name. So we'll see.
Yeah, it certainly bothers me quite a bit, and it's there is a huge difference between a rough sexual encounter, which. And what he did, and there's just no excuse for it whatsoever.
Yeah. So, but all right. Well, let's turn our attention a little closer to home here. The Chicago White Sox made multiple roster moves today. They have brought Adam Eaton back off the injured list, and they called up Jake Berger, who has been a top prospect. Obviously, two guys come on, two guys got to go away. Zach Birdie was sent to AAA, and I found this other move very interesting there, Stu, is Yermin Merced is the other player that gets shuffled back to AAA. Now, obviously, his numbers have been slowly declining. The batting average is down to .271, and looking at his log here, he actually hasn't homered since May 27th. You know,
Didn't he have four hits a couple days ago? And that's a surprise to me. That's really a surprise because he set the league on fire. And if I remember correctly, I don't think that Eaton has had such a great year when he's been healthy.
No, you know, unfortunately, he's you know, basically Adam Eaton like Adam Eaton, and he's been quite banged up. You know, he's played in 54 games, and he's only hitting .195. Of course, what Eaton gives you is the fact that he can play the outfield, where Merced's is exclusively a designated hitter and backup. So
I'm wondering if this move could wind up backfiring against the White Sox.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And now, you know, Berger is the second top prospect called up. You know, they just brought Gavin Sheets up, this week as well. But, you know, to be fair, Berger's tearing it up at AAA. You know, he's got 10 bombs and he's hitting .322. You know, and Yoan Moncada did just get hurt yesterday, so Berger is a third baseman. So you do wonder if he'll step in and play every day while Moncada's down. Moncada hasn't been put on the IL, you know, as of yet. So we'll see, you know, how it plays out, but. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting move.
Were you surprised that the second player sent down was Mercedes?
Yeah, very, very much so. You know, again, because even though his numbers have slipped, you know, .271 is still pretty good at the major league level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought he was starting to come out a little bit. He looked like he's starting to spray the ball a little bit better, not necessarily hitting home runs, but it looked like he was putting some good wood on the ball recently, and I thought maybe his slump is now behind him, and he's starting to adjust to what the pitchers have done to him since his hot streak. So that, to me, is quite a surprise, and I don't think it's a good move on the White Sox part to send him down.
Well, you do wonder, do you think with Jose Abreu being dinged up and basically forced into the DH role, there just weren't any at-bats? Because, I mean, as well as Mercedes has played, you're not going to play him over Jose Abreu.
No, and that's a good point. I forgot that Abreu got dinged up, and the last day or two he's been DH. So if he's going to be the DH so much longer, then there's really no room on the roster for Mercedes. But Abreu's a pretty tough guy, and I thought that maybe give him a day or two off and in a DH role, he'd be back at first base again.
Yeah, well, you know, in this way, you know, Mercedes can go down and he can get his, you know, he can get regular at bats instead of just sitting on the bench and doing nothing. So, you know, maybe that'll, you know, because you can't, you know, you just can't see him being down there any kind of length, right? I mean, you figure as soon as Moncada is healthy and ready to play first or third base again every day, Berger's got to go back down because then there's no at-bats for him. So Mercedes might as well come back up, and hopefully by then Abreu will be back to 100%. Or maybe when Abreu's ready to take over at first base full-time, Gavin Sheets goes down, and, you know, Mercedes comes back up then. But
yeah,
I just can't
ask
see
about
it being
Sheets.
A boom.
He got off to a very good start, but how long is that going to
last? He's killing it. So.
Well, we've seen that before, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. So.
Yeah, I wonder, morale-wise, how the team feels about Mercedes being sent back down to the minors.
Yeah, you know, you do wonder, but, you know, my guess is if it's not long term, it wouldn't be an issue at all. You know, again, it would just be one of those things where it's like, hey, he's going, you know, we're sending him to make sure he gets his at-bats.
Right.
You know, which definitely isn't a bad thing.
And when we move into August, for example, and perhaps Jimenez is back in action again, and Roberts, then what happens? Who else will have to be sent down then?
Yeah, you know, they'll have some really interesting decisions to make. And, you know, that is with the idea that they'll both be ready to play. You know, I know Jimenez is already doing baseball activities, but he's only in instructional league, and they're taking it very slowly with him, which is a smart move. And I haven't heard any updates on Robert, so I don't know how much he's got left.
I do find it very interesting, by the way, that of all these players the White Sox have brought up due to their many, many injuries they've had, they've all seemed to do pretty well for them. They've all seemed to have done a very respectable job at the plate and in the field, unlike what happens on the other side of town.
Oddly, the only one that hasn't has been Danny Mendick. He's come up and just really struggled filling in for Nick Mandergal, and that's actually spurred some of the talks that the White Sox are apparently very interested in Eduardo Escobar of the Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, because he could step in and fill in at second base. But, you know, so far the talks haven't went anywhere, so we'll see what goes on there.
Well, they could probably get him for very little because, obviously, Arizona, being where they are in the standings, are probably in a sell mode anyway.
Yeah, you know, you would think mid-tier prospect, you know, would be enough to land a guy like Escobar, and I don't know what his contract situation is, so I don't know how long he's looking at or anything like that. But, yeah, I couldn't see it taking a ton to, you know, to land him. But, you know, he could be a nice veteran add for a team like that.
Yeah, he would be. And who do they play, by the way, who do they play over the weekend? I've forgotten to check the schedule to see who they wind up playing.
You know, I want to say it's Detroit. I believe they are playing. Give me a second here, and I can check that for you with my handy dandy. As long as my handy dandy internet connection wants to work for me, we will not have any problems. But you know how that goes for
right.
me sometimes. So
right.
You may have to sing or some sing or dance or something while I'm waiting for it to pop up. Here we go.
You got it.
It is. Looks like they're in Detroit, and it's Lance Lynn against Casey Mize is the pitching matchup.
Oh, they're on the road. So this is another one of those strange instances in which both Chicago teams are playing on the road over the weekend.
Yes. So.
Yeah, in years past, I've never seen that happen. But I don't know. It seems to be more prevalent this year. I'm not sure why that the quirks in the schedule are working out like that.
You know, a lot of it is now the fact that a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a computer that spits out the schedule. So there's no real, you know, anybody really noticing it. The computer spits out the schedule and they go, oh, all right, here you go. And then they just go with it. So
I think, by the way, I think the fans are starting to the South Side, the fans are starting to believe a little bit in the hype of the White Sox, because for that afternoon game, they had an announced crowd of 24,000, which is quite decent.
Yeah, well, you know, when they win, they can eventually get some support. You know, it just takes a little time for, you know, that to happen. And if they can continue on, you know, they'll draw all right. I mean, they're, you know, unfortunately, they're still not going to draw as well as the Cubs do at home, but that's just always going to be the case.
I could certainly see capacity crowds towards in September, for example, when the season is on the line and the playoff positions have to be decided.
Yeah, you know, you would think, you know, you always hope for that, but we'll, you know, it's just kind of one of those wait and see things on if we can actually get people to show up, and hopefully, you know, they'll be at the top of the division and, you know, maybe contending for home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, you would think the only team that would give them be in contention for them would be Cleveland. I don't think anybody else is going to make any kind of challenge besides Indians? I'm not even sure that's the correct name anymore. Or is it just
Cleveland
baseball team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, technically they are still the Indians, but they're in the process of changing that. So just stick with Cleveland. So.
Yeah, they're the only
we did have some other trade rumors and stuff floating around. You know, the Mets are still looking to upgrade their third base spot. You know, they have J.D. Davis, but he was just moved to the 60-day IL today. They've been hoping beyond hope that Chris Bryant becomes available. You know, there was some talk in the offseason about them trying to acquire him. You know, right now the Cubs, you know, who knows what the Cubs are going to do. So the Mets are, you know, they're looking elsewhere. They have apparently reached out to the Twins about it, you know, about possibly acquiring Josh Donaldson. You know, Donaldson would put them over the luxury tax, but I don't think their owner would have a problem paying. He did say he wants to win. He is in the second year of a four-year, $92 million deal. He would definitely be an upgrade for the Mets. You know, he's hitting .250, but he does have 13 homers. And, you know, we are talking about a guy who was a former MVP that was back in 2015 and has really had some battles with injuries, but has been healthy this year. I don't know what the Twins would be looking for in return, but you like the add of Donaldson to the Mets lineup if they can pull it off?
The only thing that concerns me about a possible deal is that he is not supposed to be a clubhouse favorite. For no matter who he's played for, no one seemed to like the guy except, of course, on the field, you can't take that away from him. He's got the tools. He's got the talent. Would a possible deal getting him disrupt the chemistry of the Mets?
Well, you know, considering they need some offensive production at third base, it probably wouldn't.
You know, probably, you know, they would probably put aside his clubhouse shenanigans to decide if he can wind up hitting a few home runs for them for the rest of the season and driving in some runs. That would supersede any negative feelings they would have about his clubhouse personality, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, again, you do wonder, you know, but you're looking at a team that, you know, Jonathan Villar has been playing third base the majority of the time. He's currently injured. He's at 246 with just six home runs, and at this point he's, you know, in his career, he's more of a utility guy. I'm looking to see if I can find the name of the guy they just had up, but I can't really find him. So, but yeah, you know, nobody really lightened it up for them. Davis was playing well in the minimal time he had. He was hitting .390, but it was just in 14 games.
Yeah, it's a shame that he got
so
hurt. And they've been holding on in first place for quite a while, 2-3-game lead, and I believe that hasn't Washington not moved into second place ahead of Atlanta and Philadelphia?
Yeah, Washington is in second. They are actually the Mets and Washington are the only teams over 500 in that division. So, yeah.
Well, I wonder what caused Washington's resurgence. I could think of a name or two, couldn't you?
Yeah, there's definitely one big name that jumps out when it comes to Washington moving up in the standings, and I believe he was named NL Player of the Month for June today.
Yeah, well, how could you possibly criticize that decision?
Yeah, it would be interesting if they would have picked somebody else, how they would have defended that one. But, of course, we're talking former Cub great Kyle Schwarber.
And by the way, he did not hit a homer the other day, although he did wind up with a double. And his average is over 250 also, which isn't too shabby.
51. Yeah, so. But, yeah, you know, and it has helped that, you know, Washington's been getting a little better pitching. You know, anytime you can do that, that helps out quite a bit. You know, they got Max Scherzer had the short stint on the IL. You know, anytime you get a guy like that back, it's going to improve your team. So, you know, that's a big plus there. Wonder if Steven Strasburg is going to get healthy.
Yeah. Is he ever healthy?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. But it just shows you, and we've talked about this before, how important pitching is, especially starting pitching. If you have a solid five man rotation, starting rotation, and they're relatively healthy. If you're a poor hitting team, it wouldn't make you. You're going to still win a lot of games, and you're going to be in contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah, no, you know that's definitely, you know, pitching, you know, is really the key when it comes to winning. You have to have quality, especially starting pitching. You know, bullpens are so hit or miss, you can magically piece one together out of the blue and not even realize you have a good bullpen until you get rolling along. But, you know, you look at a team like the Yankees and you wonder if the fact that they went with, you know, Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, two guys with a big-time injury history, you wonder if that is hurting them, you know, because Kluber is on the IL and Taillon hasn't really given them much.
No,
and Gerrit Cole has all of a sudden struggled since they started to enforce this rule.
And their closer didn't do very well the other day either, did he?
No, he gave up a bomb, but, you know, that's going to happen. I mean, so did Liam Hendricks that cost the White Sox a game.
Yeah. That is true. Hey, some of these guys, you think they're unhittable. They're relief pitchers, and they're only human. And, boy, But I was quite surprised to see Chapman lit up like that the other day, though.
You know, he's always had those outings where he'll go out there one time and for whatever reason just stink. And then after that, he'll put together like five or six outings where you can't touch him.
Yeah.
So.
I think control is an issue with him sometimes. I think the game the other day when he got lit up, I think it's, he had control issues. And of course, when that happens, he gets behind the batters and got to throw him down the middle, and you saw what happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do have to start wondering now that we're just about at the halfway point if maybe the AL East is going to be too tough for the Yankees to overcome. You know, they've now dropped to fourth place. They're nine games out of first place, and for whatever reason, and I thought for sure once the Red Sox dropped out of first place, they would fall, just kind of start to fall away. Instead, they've completely turned it around. Now they're 51-31, and they're 3.5 games up on the Rays. So, you know, that's probably the best division in baseball with four teams. You know, I know the NL West has three really good teams, but we're talking about four good teams here. You know, is it going to be too much for the Yankees?
I think it is. Of course, I picked them to win the pennant myself, so I'm way off there. And it's very, very difficult to come back when there's three teams ahead of you.
So, yeah, you know, because, I mean, you know, they are over 400 or over 500. They're 41-39. So, you know, they're not terrible. But, you know, this division is just so damn good for some reason. I mean, I didn't have the Red Sox or the Rays being this good.
Well, the
and
Rays,
really
you know, the Rays are going to be
mind.
Decent. They are every year, no matter what, no matter who they shuffle on the field, they're going to be a contender. They've got the magic.
You know, after the Blake Snell trade, I wasn't buying it, and I thought they were resetting and would probably finish in third. And, yeah, no, they – yeah, what the hell do I know? Jeez.
Yeah, well, the two teams that you can guarantee are going to be a contender every year, despite the fact they have a limited payroll, are Oakland and Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever they do for their system, Oakland is a money ball team, and that works for them. And God, I don't know what the hell the Rays do, but nobody can duplicate it.
Yeah, here's why I think the Yankees are done. They're 9 games behind. And in years past, if you notice a team that's still in contention, say they're in third place, they're four or five games behind, and you think that's easy to overcome. But it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. It's not easy. And they have 9 games behind, so barring a collapse by the teams ahead of them, I don't see them doing anything the rest of the year. They just have too many talented teams ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, I think their only opportunity is, you know, you're going to have to beat those teams when you play them.
Yeah.
You know, because you play your division with everybody else. So that's your way to make up ground, you know, is to beat those teams, because then, you know, you're gaining a game instead of a half a game. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll...
three talented teams they're going to have to compete against. Not just one.
Well, you know, my biggest issue is, you know, I look at that rotation and it just doesn't, you know, excite me. I mean, like, I expect Gerrit Cole to kind of right the ship and go back to being Gerrit Cole. But then, you know, you're looking at Jordan Montgomery, Domingo Germán, and Jameson Taillon, whose ERAs are all over 4. Taillon is almost 5.5. You know, Corey Kluber, you know, he did throw, I believe, through the no-hitter, but he's only made 10 starts. You know, Michael King has been decent in the rotation, but not great. So I just don't know if the starting pitching is here. You know, and they've gotten nothing out of Zach Britton, who has appeared in 5 games and been hurt. So, you know, even the bullpen has had its issues. So yeah, you know, I just don't know if there's any pitching here.
Yeah, they have a tough task ahead of them. Can you imagine the criticism going around on the New York Sports Channel, or the WFAN, the amount of abuse that's been heading the way of the Yankees?
It's already started.
Yeah, I can believe that.
There were rumors that they wanted Aaron Boone fired.
Yeah,
they were
pushing
that agenda. So,
well, the old adage, of course, in baseball and any other sport is that the manager is hired to be fired, and as we've seen over the years, that's nothing could be truer than that statement.
So, yeah, and, you know, you do wonder how much it's going to help the Red Sox. You know, Chris Sale is very close to returning. This would be interesting. I kind of want to get your take on this. You know, if you remember when he first came up with the White Sox, he started as a setup man, and then he closed for a year or two. Do you think he would be better off closing for the Red Sox? Because they don't have that dominant back-end guy. Or do you put him back in the rotation and just let him give you the what is probably going to be five innings every game because he's coming back from Tommy John?
Yeah, and I would say put him back in as a starter and let him go to five innings. Because the wear and tear of being a closer, and after that Tommy John surgery, I'm not sure. How many games in a row could you put him in as a closer? Maybe two? And let him rest a day or two? And that wouldn't work out well either. So I think that would be more of a strain on his arm than coming in and pitching a solid five innings.
Well, you know, they have a fairly deep bullpen with, you know, Matt Barnes and Adam Ottavino. Garrett Whitlock has done really well for them out of the pen, you know, numbers-wise. And Brandon Workman, who sucked for the Cubs last year, has managed to pitch well here. So, you know, if Sale could come in and go 2 days in a row and give you a couple innings, maybe three, you give him a day off, you've got guys to fill in. You know, you might be able to juggle it to where he could really be productive for you down the stretch.
That's true. And is how close is he to baseball shape right now?
You know, he's been throwing on the field, but I haven't seen anything that said him throwing off the mound. That would be the last step. So you can't figure he's very far away. I wouldn't be surprised if he's ready right after the All-Star break.
Yeah, but will he be in true baseball shape? Because as you well know, there's a big difference between, throwing off the mound, looking very good, but getting into the game is something else.
Yeah, but if he's only giving you an inning, how much of that does he have to be in?
Well, that's true, and has there been talk about that, possibly converting him back to a closer release for this season? Has it been discussed?
No, I think I'm the first idiot to bring that up. But
well, I don't know about that, but your thoughts and ideas always have merit, and it's actually an interesting one. But I still suspect they're going to try to make him a starter again, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he'll be ready to go mid-July, for example.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything about it. I mean, as far as I know, he's going back into the rotation. But, you know, I just kind of thought, hey, why not? This could be something really interesting. But
yeah, like you say, he's done it before. He's done it before.
You know, we'll see what they end up doing with him. But, you know, either way, that's going to be a huge boost for a team that's been one of the biggest surprises.
No, they have been the surprise of Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to throw the Giants in there, too. I know they had some struggles and were by, I can't remember, I think it was at the Astros. But yeah, you know, the Giants definitely belong in that category. I think those are the two biggest surprise teams end, of course.
Of course, the Giants' lead has shrunk to, as you pointed out, a half a game. So are the Dodgers getting ready to catch up with them? And, of course, I'm sure they did not want to hear the news about Bauer that we talked about earlier. That's coming at the wrong time.
Yeah.
They're starting to make a serious inroad into catching the Giants.
Yeah, well, not only the Bauer situation, but they've got a really hot Washington Nationals team coming to town, and wouldn't you know it, it's Max Scherzer's night to start. So.
Yeah, and don't forget Scherzer. I don't think he's in the prime of his career anymore. Isn't he 35, 36 years old? So I think his better days are behind him. Although he can't be a solid pitcher.
Still one of the best fighters in baseball.
So.
Yeah, but I always worry about him. He always seems to be injury prone to me. I mean, he'll tweak something here, he'll get hurt there, go back on the injured list. So,
it's never long term. So, you know, it's manageable, and that's a big plus. I mean, compared to a guy like Steven Strasburg, who you know when he goes out, he's out.
Yeah, it's not just for 10 days.
Yeah. So, and I think Scherzer may be a little more durable than you're giving him credit for. You know, I mean, I know he does miss a start here or there, but, you know, in general, he's been a workhorse. You know, obviously he's not a 300-inning guy because nobody is anymore. They're barely 200-inning guys, but, like even this year, he has made 15 starts. I believe the leader only has 16 or 17. So, he's right there.
What's his, offhand, what his ERA is this year and his record?
2.14. He's
That's
7
savvy,
and 4
huh?
with a 2.14 ERA. So, and he
That's
has
pretty
a...
Solid, so, I guess he can still...
119 strikeouts. Yeah, in 88 and a third innings. So he's still racking them up, and he's 36.
Yeah, I knew he was in his late 30s.
Really becomes interesting, he'll turn 37 towards the end of the month. He's a free agent. What kind of interest is he going to draw, and what are we talking year-wise? Would somebody really go 3 years in big money and push into your 40s with a guy like him? I mean, he's been a monster.
Yeah, but I think that's a very risky decision on a team to get someone on a three-year deal that's 37. I wouldn't recommend it, but... It will be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, since 2013, he's won 3 Cy Youngs, finished second once, third once, and fifth twice. And he looks like he's on his way to another top Cy Young finish. I don't think anybody's beating Jacob DeGrom. But Scherzer may finish second or third in that race again. So.
But you never know when a guy loses it. Especially when he turns 37 like that. I mean, I've seen guys that were super pitchers, and they got up to that age, and the next season they just, that's it, and they've had it. So that's the risk you're going to take. Is it worth the risk?
Yeah, and somebody is definitely going to take that. I mean, don't forget, Jamie Moyer appeared in 10 games at the age of 49.
Yeah, there are a few exceptions.
Jamie Moyer, by the way, former Cub.
Yes.
Can't forget that. He could have been a Cub for a long time if they had held on to him.
That's right. Did Wilbur Wood pitch when he was 50? I'm trying to remember now if he pitched. Can't quite remember.
He may have, but here's your trivia question while I am looking up the Wilbur Wood. When the Cubs shipped Jamie Moyer off to Texas, December 5th, 1988, you were a very young man then, just like you are now. Who was the main player that the Cubs got back in that deal for Moyer, along with Rafael Palmeiro went in that deal?
Don't remember.
I'll give you a hint. He was a reliever.
A reliever, I don't know.
Yes. If I told you his nickname was Wild Thing, would that help you?
Oh, Mitch Williams.
Yes, Mitch Williams was the main cog in that player, the deal that came back. So.
Yeah, he was interesting to watch. Frustrating, but interesting.
There we go. Okay. It does say Wilbur Wood pitched his last game in 1978. They have him as 36 years old.
Wow. Way off on that one.
Yeah.
I still remember when he pitched of a doubleheader one time, which is
I
believe he was the last pitcher.
He was the last pitcher
to do that, to start both.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Check this out. You ready for this one?
Ready.
In 1972, Wilbur Wood made 49 starts and pitched 376 and two-thirds innings. Yeah.
thank goodness for the knuckleball, huh?
Yeah, don't think we will ever see anything like that again. So
even if the pitcher has a knuckleball, we'll never see that again.
But, yeah, he had, back-to-back 24-win seasons. He actually won 20 games 4 years in a row for the White Sox. So he was fairly successful, had a long major league career.
Yeah, he certainly did. And I'm always confused about the term knuckleball, because I don't think their knuckles are employed when they throw that pitch, are they?
No, you dig into the seams with your fingernails. I actually used to be able to throw one. So,
how was your control with it when you threw it?
Oh, it's horrible. You just float it up there and hope the guy can't figure out what's going on. So,
yeah, there's been a few excellent knuckleball pitchers like Wilbur Wood and Phil Niekro. Didn't he throw knuckleball also, if I remember?
Phil and Joe. So.
Yeah, that's right. And Bert Hooten threw a knuckle curve.
Yeah. Some guys do still throw that. I believe the last true knuckleballer in the majors was R.A. Dickey. So.
Yeah, it seems like a dying pitch now. You don't see many pitchers using it anymore.
Well, that's because everybody is enamored with velocity, and that's the exact opposite of what a knuckleball is. So,
yeah. Do any pitchers still throw a screwball, or is that another one that's gone in a repertoire?
I don't know anybody throwing it. It is possible, but I haven't heard of anybody throwing it as their main pitch or out pitch like Fernando used to.
Yeah, you think that's terrible. That's a terrible wear and tear on your arm when you throw a screwball, though.
That's what they say. So, maybe that's why people stopped using it.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, let's jump into some picks here before I forget. You stuffled a little bit a couple weeks ago. The Chicago teams really let you down. You ended up going 1-3. You are still over 500 at 40-30, and we are going to stick to baseball this weekend. You got a full baseball weekend here. We'll give you two picks tonight, just straight up win loss. The Cubs are in Cincinnati at the Reds, of course. Alec Mills against Sonny Gray to start. I know you've been really disappointed in the Cubs. You going with the Reds to win tonight, or you think the Cubs pull it off?
I don't think the Cubs pull it off, no. The losing streak continues tonight.
All right. Then also tonight we mentioned both Chicago teams are out of town. The White Sox are in Detroit to take on the Tigers. Lance Lynn against Casey Mize. Who you rolling with in that one? You got the White Sox or the Tigers?
Definitely the White Sox on that one. No question about it.
All right. Let's jump to tomorrow and see what we got going on. Tomorrow's matchup for the White Sox has Dallas Keuchel and Tarik Skubal. The Cubs matchup has Adbert Azalea and Tyler Molly. Let's go with combined runs scored by both teams over under, say, 8.5 for tomorrow.
I'd say over.
All right. And then we will jump to Sunday. We will get the pitching matchups here. The White Sox have Lucas Giolito. The Tigers have Matt Manning. The Cubs do have Kyle Hendricks, while the Reds counter with Wade Miley. Let's try something new here. We haven't done this one, I don't think, ever. Total home runs for both teams, let's say over under 3.5.
I would say over.
Oh, all right. So you think they're going to combine for 4 or more. I like that. You're looking for some offense. All right.
Yeah,
so we will lock these all in and see how it works out. So... but, yeah, you know, as we're getting to the end here, unfortunately, disappointing news. We had a couple more of veteran teams get knocked out of that tag tournament by teams that
who
couldn't hold their jock strap. I believe the Koloffs got knocked out. They didn't know. Obviously, they're not an old-school team, but they are an older team for this tournament. But, yeah, just
who beat them?
Just very, very – sad and disappointing that these people voting have no idea what they're doing.
Who beat them? The Young Bucks?
No, the Bucks haven't came up yet in this round, but they did dominate. Let me grab it here real quick, and I can tell you who they ended up losing to. Come on. Team Hell No. Oh, and the other team that lost yesterday, Bockwinkel and Stevens lost to the Outsiders.
Who are the Outsiders? I've forgotten now.
Kevin Nash, Scott Hall.
Oh, that's right, the Outsiders. I disagree with that one.
Yeah, so did I. I voted for both losing teams yesterday. Today's matchups have DX against Los Conquistadors. Sadly, I don't know how the Conquistadors got into the second round.
Weren't they a jobber team in the WWE? Weren't the Conquistadors a job team?
Except when Edge and Christian donned the hood.
Oh, right.
So,
that doesn't count.
Yeah. And then we have the Rock and Sock Connection against Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas. Eminem against RVD and Sabu, and then we have an extra match today, the Impact Players against the Colossal. So that's what I had to choose from today. But unfortunately, Stu and I are going to go away. So say goodbye, Stu.
We will talk to you soon next week.
All right. Hopefully we're going to come back to the if you want to spend time with us. But that is, the deal. WorkTimeRadio.com. This is a blog popping up there 3 times tomorrow. So please go over there and take a picture. Dive in and give it a like. But don't forget we also have the same thing. That's Time Radio. Now you can also find me on Twitter. That's WorkTimeRadio.com. If you want to look me up there. If you were able to stop by and listen to us live today, thank you very much for doing that. Next time, I want to know what the TuneIn box is. You can listen anytime you want. All right, I'll be cool tomorrow, everybody. Be safe with the fireworks.